I invite you to stand this morning for the gospel reading. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down to Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed, the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Around this time each year, we have the opportunity to celebrate an important milestone in the lives of family and friends and our students. It's graduation season. In a few weeks, we'll take the time here in worship to honor our students who've graduated this year. But Friday night, I had the privilege to attend the commencement ceremony at Sharando High School, my own alma mater. Go Warriors. We actually also went to honor Sandra Paxson, who you may know sings with the worship ensemble during the 11 a.m. service. Or 10. But as I stepped into the school's Arrowhead football stadium, I found myself recollecting my own high school graduation from Sharando, which happens to have been exactly 10 years ago this week. And I know some of y'all are thinking, "Come on, that's nothing." But to me, it's been something. Beyond graduation, I began a journey on a path that I thought was clear and concise. I journeyed to sunny Central Florida to attend Bible college and, of course, to bask in the sunshine by the ocean and the waves. See, I knew from a very young age that I would be involved in ministry. And from my early teen years, I knew that I wanted to attend this particular school. Things were great. I was in the popular crowd. I was involved in all the elite music programs, directed traveling tour groups, even had a great ministry experience leading a music program in a local church. But something was not right. Something began to change in me. I was tired of going through the motions, and I came to a point in my journey where I could no longer live the life that I thought I wanted. I couldn't be the person that I had been told for so long I had to be. What was going on? Everything I ever knew, everything I had ever thought, just wasn't working. So I did what any dumb teenager does. I threw it away. Literally, everything I had went into a garbage dumpster. And in my search to find myself, and in an attempt to understand this God that I just no longer could understand, I threw him away too. I couldn't stand one more minute of trying to act like I had it all together, that I wasn't hurting, and that I wasn't broken. And I couldn't stand that God wasn't fixing anything. So I walked away. Upon my return home, immediately my parents and family knew something was wrong. How could I just throw away everything that I had lived for up until that time? I knew that they felt I had lost it. Friends whom I had known all my life walked away from me because I wasn't the person that they thought I needed to be. My journey of rediscovery began. Who was I? Why had God brought me so far only to leave me in a pit? Had I gone crazy? The season of my life was not a short one. It was as if time had stood still. But through this journey through the valley, I began to realize that God had not left me, and his desire for a relationship with me never vanquished. His Holy Spirit, who's that same Spirit that we find in Jesus in the story that we just read, was alive and working in me, empowering me to be the person that God had designed me to be. You see, God didn't throw me away in that dumpster that day. I became to realize that I do indeed still have a purpose. I do indeed still have a calling. And as I considered the reaction that Jesus' own family and the scribes had, calling him crazy and demon-possessed. Yeah, I've been there. But I found a truth that carries me along as I continue in this journey. As I said earlier, when Pastor Dave asked me a few weeks back about speaking this morning, I thought, you're the craziest pastor on the face of the planet. I'm the music director. Tell your story. Okay. But what of value do I have to share? You probably don't know that, or you probably may have figured out that I didn't grow up in a Lutheran tradition, but rather a Pentecostal tradition. And believe you me, there were some crazy times. But don't worry, no snake charming involved. These past several years, as I rebuilt my relationship with God, I've been able to be a part of several Christian traditions. 10 years ago, I would have never thought that I'd be standing in a Lutheran church this morning, sharing with each of you. But over time, I've truly gained a perspective of God that I never knew before. I can feel the presence of God in a high-energy, charismatic service or in the meditation of a somber traditional service. Through all of this, I've learned what Jesus truly meant when he told the crowd that day, "Here are my mother and my brothers." In verse 35, Jesus adds, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Each of us here today is a part of that family of God. Each of us has that same spirit inside of us that possessed Jesus. No, maybe we won't cast out a demon with our own hands. Maybe we won't come up with a fancy concoction made out of water at a wedding. Maybe we won't heal a sick person. Or maybe we won't be the talk of the world for all time. But the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is within each of us. Today we've talked about God using us beyond our sin, beyond our weakness, beyond our inabilities. Even in the times that we don't necessarily see God using us, He gives us hope. And He brought us redemption. My prayer for each of us today is that the same Spirit which was in Christ Jesus would fill us and refresh us today. The hymn that we're about to sing comes from some of my earliest memories in church. And as we sing it, I hope that you will take a look at the words and make them your prayer today. Lord, come and fill us now. Amen.
Be seated.
Well, you get to see something different this morning. You get to see my face. As Michelle alluded to, Pastor Dave and Heidi are away this morning at the Virginia Synod gathering. And quite frankly, I think Pastor Dave may have lost his mind leaving Michelle and I in charge this morning. But we'll see what the Holy Spirit says after a while. This morning we're going to, as Michelle said, we are not observing communion this morning. Unfortunately, I can't give that to you. So, and I'm okay with that. So. But instead, we're going to take a look at a couple of scriptures this morning, and we're going to see what God has to say on the topic of hope and sin and the Holy Spirit. And my hope this morning is that as we look at these scriptures, that they will come alive to us, and that as we journey through these three different thoughts, that the Holy Spirit would begin to put these ideas into our hearts. And I hope that I don't scare you too much. That'll be the main thing. Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning grateful to be in your presence, grateful that you have given us this day to live and to breathe and to worship you. As we take a look at your word this morning, let it come alive to us. Let it fill us with hope. We give you all the praise in your name. Amen.
The first reading is from the third chapter of Genesis. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So I read a story online recently about an Arizona woman who said that her 8-year-old daughter was humiliated to receive the catastrophe award from her teacher for giving the most homework excuses. Christina Valdez said that her daughter, Cassandra Garcia, received the colorful card from her teacher at school just a few weeks back. The award read, "Your Tops Catastrophe Award, awarded to Cassandra Garcia for most excuses for not having homework." The card was signed by her teacher with a date and a smiley face. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I would be too delighted to receive that kind of award. I'd like to think that I would probably try to find some humor in it and laugh about it with my friends, but I don't think I would be jumping for joy. But I think we've all been there, perhaps being acknowledged for something we may not seem is very big or very honorable. I mean, let's look at Adam and Eve. Sure, they're acknowledged for being the first humans, but they're also acknowledged for their sin. Nobody wants that. However, in their feeble weakness, we find hope. Blame was passed around from Adam to Eve, from Eve to the serpent. But then God steps in. God curses the evil. I can imagine God saying, "Eat dirt, Satan." Probably in his native tongue, but I'm not that good with Hebrew, so I won't go there. But there's good news. God foreshadows a future of hope for Adam and Eve. God said, "I will put enmity," or tension, strife, hardship. You can probably find a different word for that. "I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers." There's hope. And this hope is the promise of life after sin. Generations and generations who will overcome. But even through this image of hope for future generations, there still must have been some feelings of inadequacy. We all share the same feeling at times. I'm not good enough to do this because, and you can fill in the dot, dot, dot there. I even felt that about this morning. The story of Charlotte Elliott, who's the author of the great hymn lyrics that we're about to sing, I think says it best. Charlotte was an invalid most of her life. Many times her weakened condition caused her great depression. Such was the case in 1836 when Charlotte's brother, H.B. Elliott, was raising funds for St. Mary's Hall at Brighton, England. It was a college for the daughters of poor clergymen. Charlotte wanted to give something and have some little part, but because of her infirmity, she was hindered. As she wondered how she could help the cause, Charlotte decided to write a poem relevant to others who were physically limited. She remembered the words of a great preacher who had once said to her, "To come to Jesus just as you are." The resulting poem was published without Charlotte's name, but was handed to her one day in a leaflet form by her doctor. The doctor didn't realize that Charlotte was the actual author of this poem. Tears streamed down Charlotte's face as she read the 6 verses and was told that copies of the poem were being sold and the money was being given to St. Mary's Hall. Charlotte then realized that she had at least made a significant contribution. Her words of faith and humility were that contribution. I invite you to meditate on these words as we sing them now. I invite you to stand this morning for the gospel reading. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down to Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.'" Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Around this time each year, we have the opportunity to celebrate an important milestone in the lives of family and friends and our students. It's graduation season. In a few weeks, we'll take the time here in worship to honor our students who've graduated this year. But Friday night, I had the privilege to attend the commencement ceremony at Sharando High School, my own alma mater. Go Warriors! We actually also went to honor Sandra Papson, who you may know sings with the worship ensemble during the 11 a.m. service, or 10. But as I stepped into the school's Arrowhead football stadium, I found myself recollecting my own high school graduation from Sharando, which happens to have been exactly 10 years ago this week. And I know some of y'all are thinking, "Come on, that's nothing." But to me, it's been something. Beyond graduation, I began a journey on a path that I thought was clear and concise. I journeyed to sunny Central Florida to attend Bible college and, of course, to bask in the sunshine by the ocean and the waves. See, I knew from a very young age that I would be involved in ministry. And from my early teen years, I knew that I wanted to attend this particular school. Things were great. I was in the popular crowd. I was involved in all the elite music programs, directed traveling tour groups, even had a great ministry experience leading a music program in a local church. But something was not right. Something began to change in me. I was tired of going through the motions, and I came to a point in my journey where I could no longer live the life that I thought I wanted. I couldn't be the person that I had been told for so long I had to be. What was going on? Everything I ever knew, everything I had ever thought, just wasn't working. So I did what any dumb teenager does. I threw it away. Literally. Everything I had went into a garbage dumpster. And in my search to find myself, and in an attempt to understand this God that I just no longer could understand, I threw him away too. I couldn't stand one more minute of trying to act like I had it all together, that I wasn't hurting, and that I wasn't broken. And I couldn't stand that God wasn't fixing anything. So I walked away. Upon my return home, immediately my parents and family knew something was wrong. How could I just throw away everything that I had lived for up until that time? I knew that they thought I had lost it. Friends whom I had known all my life walked away from me because I wasn't the person that they thought I needed to be. My journey of rediscovery began. Who was I? Why had God brought me so far only to leave me in a pit? Had I gone crazy? The season of my life was not a short one. It was as if time had stood still. But through this journey through the valley, I began to realize that God had not left me, and his desire for a relationship with me never vanquished. His Holy Spirit, who's that same Spirit that we find in Jesus in the story that we just read, was alive and working in me, empowering me to be the person that God had designed me to be. You see, God didn't throw me away in that dumpster that day. I became to realize that I do indeed still have a purpose. I do indeed still have a calling. And as I considered the reaction that Jesus' own family and the scribes had, calling him crazy and demon-possessed. Yeah, I've been there. But I found a truth that carries me along as I continue in this journey. As I said earlier, when Pastor Dave asked me a few weeks back about speaking this morning, I thought, you're the craziest pastor on the face of the planet. I'm the music director. Tell your story. Okay. But what of value do I have to share? You probably don't know that, or you probably may have figured out that I didn't grow up in a Lutheran tradition, but rather a Pentecostal tradition. And believe you me, there were some crazy times. But don't worry, no snake charming involved. These past several years, as I rebuilt my relationship with God, I've been able to be a part of several Christian traditions. 10 years ago, I would have never thought that I'd be standing in a Lutheran church this morning sharing with each of you. But over time, I've truly gained a perspective of God that I never knew before. I can feel the presence of God in a high-energy, charismatic service or in the meditation of a somber traditional service. Through all of this, I've learned what Jesus truly meant when he told the crowd that day, "Here are my mother and my brothers." In verse 35, Jesus adds, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Each of us here today is a part of that family of God. Each of us has that same spirit inside of us that possessed Jesus. No, maybe we won't cast out a demon with our own hands. Maybe we won't come up with a fancy concoction made out of water at a wedding. Maybe we won't heal a sick person. Or maybe we won't be the talk of the world for all time. But the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is within each of us. Today we've talked about God using us beyond our sin, beyond our weakness, beyond our inabilities. Even in the times that we don't necessarily see God using us, He gives us hope. And He brought us redemption. My prayer for each of us today is that the same Spirit which was in Christ Jesus would fill us and refresh us today. The hymn that we're about to sing comes from some of my earliest memories in church. And as we sing it, I hope that you will take a look at the words and make them your prayer today. Lord, come and fill us now. Amen.